Amen. Good morning. Oh, that was not bad. Okay. Better, getting there. Okay. All right. Now, one of the things that I wanted to say about this right off the bat is whenever I plan and look for a message or find what I'm going to talk about, I always look at it from two perspectives. One, how is it going to affect us sitting here in this room today? How's it going to affect us? But the other part of that is, and I talked about this last week, we are called to share the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. Amen. And so I not only look at it from how's it going to affect us, but when we get out in that world and we interact with other people, I try to look at how can we share? How can we make it that apply to their lives? And because, you know, you may sit and you go, well, I know all of this. I know. Well, maybe it's God going, well, that person doesn't. And one of the things that is out there is, I want to talk about today, is choosing the right values to get us to where we want to go. Because that's what makes the difference. We choose the values that's there. And this, you can't read this whole thing because I was back there and it was like, oh, I can't see all the writing. And it says, your future is created by what you do today, not tomorrow. Your future is created by what you do today, not tomorrow. Amen. Because you can't wait till tomorrow or for tomorrow. Because you'll hear the old song that never comes. So we have to look at it in that light. And one of the things that I've ran into, a lot of people have misconceptions about God. They have this totally wrong misconception about God. Now, one thing they say, well, okay, we read the scriptures and it says that God had a plan. And God put that plan into action billions of years before he created anything. You're part of that plan. You were created, the blueprint of you was created long before this earth is ever created. And that's true. But see, sometimes people say, okay, God's plan for our lives was put there before we were even born. And so people think, okay, well, if God's plan is put there before we were born, then we don't have a choice because it's all laid out. God laid it out for us. He gave us a plan to be happy, to be, you know, all these things that we need to be. And so people will think, well, then it's just, that's the way it is. We just have to do it. That's not right. Okay? Scripture tells us that we have a choice and we have to choose. And that's what this is talking about. We have to choose today what's going to be in our life tomorrow. We have to choose what values we're going to walk by and we're going to live by for the rest of our lives. And that takes place now, right today, because we're going to have to make choices every day of our life. So we can't wait for down the road. We have to make those now. And that's why it says, you know, we have to do this today. Now, I'm going to take this down so we can see communion better. And Gary was worried that it was going to tip over and land in the candle and we'd set the altar on fire, which, you know, it's just possible, okay? But we have choices that we make and that we have to do that. And it's not all laid out. God did lay out a plan, but it's not automatic. It's not like God created us and we're little puppets that, you know, go along doing everything we say and that God commands us to do. Because God wants us to love him. And God wants us to care. Mm-hmm. Now, I could get a gun and I could come down and I could grab one of you and I could put the gun to your head and say, okay, kiss me on the cheek and tell me you love me. And you'd do it. And I'd be so happy because you love me. Not. You've got a gun at your head. That's why you're loving me. God has the blueprint laid out. How many of you have ever seen a blueprint? Okay? It lays out all the stuff, where the plugs are, where the switches are, where this is, where that is, and all this stuff. And it's there. Now, if we follow the blueprint, we end up with the house that we want. Okay? But years ago, I saw a comic thing with Abbott and Costello. Okay, and they ordered a house by number kit. And all the boxes had numbers on them. You'd open up and nail the A to B to C to G, you know, all this way. Well, somebody went through and they changed the numbers. Well, you know, it ended up like this, okay? It was just crazy, okay? God laid out the blueprint, but it's up to us to follow it. We have to choose God's plan for our life. We can miss it, and lots of people do. There are a lot of people out there who are missing God's purpose and plan for their lives. And we get to share with them that plan. And it's God's love and God's compassion and God's really there. And so one of the things that happened is, in the very early stages of history, God chose Moses. Now, Moses was extremely important in the Old Testament. He, with the first five books he wrote, and he got the people together in Egypt, and he led them out of Egypt, and he got them together and said, we're going into a promised land, and so on. They were destined for that. And so God says, I know the plans I have for you. And they're good plans, because God doesn't do any junk. And so that perfect plan was meant for all of you, each and every one of you, and each and every one of us, no matter who we are. Realize when God says, I have a plan for you, he's talking to you. He's talking to us all, but he's talking to you. And he has a plan for your life. But we need to find out what it is. Like I said, it's just not automatic. It just doesn't fall on us. God doesn't force us to do things that we need to do. So we have to look at it. And so I want to start off with reading from Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 16. And it says, today I am giving you a choice. You can choose life and success or death and disaster. Amen. Hey, God's saying, I'm giving you a choice. Amen. Okay? Where is all this laid out? Right here. Okay? These are on your chair. If you don't have one, take one home. That's why we bought them, so people could steal them. And then they can repent. Okay? Okay, so he says, I'm giving you a choice. I am commanding you to be loyal to the Lord, to love the way he has told you, and to obey his laws and teachings. Now he says, I'm commanding you to do that. Why is he commanding us to do that? Because he's laid it out. The best thing for your life. All the people around the country were living in idolatry and immoral lifestyles, and God laid out a different way of life for the people of Israel and says, I'm commanding you to do this. And if you do, you are about to cross the Jordan River and take the land that he has given you, that God has given you. If you obey him, you will live and become successful and powerful. If you obey him, we have that opportunity to not obey God. And we do that a lot. Now, again, people think we're little puppets. We're little doing this, we're doing that and the other. But the thing is, God gave us a choice. Amen. He says, today I'm giving you a choice. He gave us that. Now, God could do, he could take away our choice and we would be little puppets going around saying prayers five times a day, doing all this stuff. There would be no evil in the world. There would be no school shootings. There would be no robberies. There would be no need for police. But we live in a world that's not that way, because God gave us the choice, because God wants us to love him because we love him, not because we have to. And there's a big difference. And what we do. You know, sometimes when we have a special offering here, I'll put two envelopes in there. And I'll say, the second envelope's for if you want to leave, you have to pay to get out. You know? Well, I'm just kidding, but, you know, we have to follow it. And he said, you're going into the promised land. And if you read the whole scripture in there, he says, those people out there, they're bad. They'll wipe you out. They'll kill you. This is what you have to do what you're going to do. And you know, the thing is, part of our teach this because I want you to be a success, a successful man and woman, family, and in our lives. And we have that opportunity for success. I had a lot of time in my life when I wasted my life. I operated in stupidity. And it's easy to do. It's easy to do, okay? In Deuteronomy 30, 17 to 19, it says, "But if you disobey and refuse to listen and are led away by the worship of other gods," in other words, if we start putting money and cars and all that stuff ahead of God, we're worshiping it, okay? "You will be destroyed." You will be, those people in that land, they'll smack you down. And part of the thing is, God says, when you follow what I tell you to do, I'm obligated to protect you and keep you. But we tend to be human. Oh, we are. I mean, okay? So we make mistakes. We do things wrong. "I warn you here and now. I warn you. You will not live long in that land across the Jordan, and you are that you are about to occupy. I am now giving you a choice between life and death, between God's blessing and God's curse." God's curse is just that God's protection is not there. "And I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Choose life." God says, "I'm calling you to do this. And I'm calling heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make." What does that mean? It means that when you get up to the pearly gates, you can't say, "Well, I did this," and all the heaven's going to go, "Ooh, ooh, whoop, 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 whoop." No, you didn't. No, you didn't. "I'm calling heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make, the choice that you're not a puppet." And you know what? One thing in our lives, the choices we make are more important than the circumstances we're in. We can get in a lot of circumstances. And I could take two of you and put you in the same circumstances, and one of you could become better and the other would become bitter. We make our choices, and then our choices make us. We become what we choose to be. And I had that period in my life where I chose a lot of really stupid. Did I say stupid? Stuff. And, you know, it was like, wow, how could I do that? Because I'm me, and I chose. And you know what? My circumstances didn't get the best of me. Thank God. And it was because of God they didn't. God gave me strength. Now, Moses, first God chose Moses before the creation of the earth, and then Moses became, the story behind all this is that Moses' parents, God chose Moses' parents, and they were in the land of Egypt. Now, we have to look back at this. When they were in the land, when they went to the land of Egypt, when Israel, the 12 tribes, when they left under the heading of Jacob, they went down to Egypt, there were 79 people, 79. But after their 400 years of slavery, there were millions. And Pharaoh was worried because of all these people that are not Egyptians in our land. And so he put out a decree that the firstborn of every family had to be killed. They were to be thrown into the river, the Nile. Well, Moses' parents, as we're going to read in the scriptures here, they looked at Moses and said, "Now we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that." And so they hid Moses away. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter and adopted and became part of Pharaoh's family. He was the grandson of Pharaoh. Now, Moses had to make a choice. He was the grandson of Pharaoh. He could be the grandson of Pharaoh, or he could go on to fulfill his destiny that God had for him. But if he had chose to be the grandson of Pharaoh, we'd have never heard of Moses. We'd have never heard of him. He'd have just been gone into oblivion. So he had to make choices. When Moses grew up, when he was young, when he was a little kid, baby, they looked at him and said, "This kid's special. He's not ordinary. We can't throw him in the river and let him drown." And so they took him, they put him in a basket with pitch on it. And they put him in the basket and they put him out on the river to "God, we give him to you." Pharaoh's daughter found him and adopted him. the parents of Moses had to make the first choice, because Moses couldn't hide himself. He couldn't do any of those things, so they had to do it for him. But when he grew up, he had to make choices, and he had to learn to make choices. And we do the same thing. When we're born, our parents make choices for us. And through certain aspects and times in our lives, they still make choices for us in what we do. I'm trying to get ahead of myself here, and I can't do that. And so he chose not to. It kind of summarizes that in Hebrews 11, 23 through 27. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edicts. In other words, they didn't care what the Pharaoh said. They said, this is a special child. We're not chucking him in the lake to let him drown. Okay. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused. They made choices for Moses when he was young, but when he grew up, he had to make his own choices. Isabella, Josh are here. Their parents make choices for them. Things that they can do, things that they can't do, is what parents are supposed to do. But when you grow up, then you have to make your own choices and do what you have to do. So he refused to be known as Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. So rather than taking the luxury and everything of the palace of Egypt, he chose to go be with his people. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. That's Jesus. So God chose Moses, and then Moses chose God to do what he was there. And when Moses grew up, he had to make choices all the time. He had to choose to lead the people. He had to choose to take them where they needed to go. He had to choose to go up the mountain and get the Ten Commandments. He had to make choices. When we became old, as we grew and become older, gradually your parents probably gave you more and more responsibility and allowed you to make more and more decisions. Now, my parents got too liberal. We could play with a knife as long as we didn't run with it. Things like that. They were too liberal, okay? So we had to learn to make choices. And sometimes that wasn't easy. So I'm going to go over 4 choices and things that were here. First, Moses refused, and these are choices we have to make. We have to refuse to be defined by others. We have to refuse to be defined by others. Have we gone through that? Yeah, we have. Hebrews 11, 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused. Who are we letting determine who our identity is? We all do it. When we're in school, it's peer pressure. Is it social media? There are people out there that are absolutely controlled by social media. I was around somebody one time, and they had put a post on there, and they were ecstatic because they had 3 people that liked it. 3 people? Really? That helps define who you are? How many of you went through identity crises in your life? When you were in junior high school, as adults, how many of you struggled with who you are? But the rest of us, some of us are gay. How many years did you struggle? I struggled till I was 32. 32 years old. I went to San Francisco. I came out. I came home. I went to work, and people said, you came back with a billboard around your neck. It's like, I did. I don't remember putting it there. But you know who put it there? The Holy Spirit. I was sitting there in the BART station waiting to go home, waiting to catch the train. And I was thinking about the whole trip and everything that was happened, because I was going home the next morning. And the Holy Spirit said, you're the same person you've always been. You just know who you are. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I do. Why did I have a billboard around my neck? I knew who I was. A couple of weeks later, my boss called me in and she says, you know, you're a social reject. And I remember the second thing the Holy Spirit told me, because I was worried about what they were going to think about me. Isn't that amazing what we do? Worried about what they're going to think about me. And the Holy Spirit said, it's their problem, not yours. And my boss said, you know, you're a social reject. And I said, you know what? That's your problem, not mine. Left her speechless there for a little bit. But within 3 weeks, she was wanting to go to the bar with me because it was a funner place to dance than the straight bars. I was at the bar one night and I heard, we're with him. And I looked over and there was a couple of nurses from work. Oh, hi. Male nurses. They were straight. But we have to do that. And so one of the things God tells us in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. When we yield to the Spirit, God lets us know who we are. Exodus 23:22. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, God talking about Moses, I will be an enemy to your enemies and I will oppose those who oppose you. I will oppose those who oppose you. The Spirit told me I was fine. I accepted the Spirit's word rather than people around me. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Our motive is to please God and not people. And we run into those people all the time. And if you watch the news, you see it multiplying. You see bigotry and hatred and everything expanding and growing. But that's a choice. And again, circumstances that we're in, you know, some people say, how are you? You say, well, I'm pretty good considering the circumstances I'm under. It's like, what are you under them for? They're like a mattress. You sleep on it, it's comfortable. Get underneath it, it'll kill you. It'll suffocate you to death. We are not controlled by our circumstances. We are controlled by our choices that we make. And the choices we make are more important than the circumstances we're under. And that's what we're about to do. John 17:16. They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. That was Jesus speaking about the disciples. They're not defined by the world, and neither am I. We're defined by what we do. So we have to answer the question, what are our choices? What are our values? What are the important things in our life that govern our lives? Do we know what they are? Can we name 3 things that are governing factors in our lives that we have to do? And when we know who we are, it takes away the fear. All those 32 years, I was afraid of who I was. God told me I'm fine. The fear was gone. Back 1978 was not a good time to come out. My boss's boss at the hospital wanted me fired for who I was. And my boss told him, no, I won't fire him. Amen. They had passed some legislation for equality. And then the city council was going to reverse it and take it away. 100 and something of us went down to the city county building because they were having this city county meeting. City planning meeting. They were going to discuss it. We had to fill out a little card. I filled out the card like everybody else did, and we put it in the box. I thought, oh, they'll pull out a couple of 3, you know. And then we found out everybody was going to have a chance to speak to the city council. Like, oh, okay. I was number 5. The news was there with their cameras. And on the television was my mug with my name this big underneath it. We had 2 minutes. They played my whole 2-minute talk. Other people's, they took snips. But But I told him, I says, you know, I work at my job, and the company head wanted me fired, but my boss told him no. And I told him how that I would have been in without a job had it not been for my boss. And I asked him not to get rid of it. They did, anyway. But it took the fear away. And the next day when I went up to see my mother who had had a stroke in the hospital, my sister and her Catholic, very Catholic husband came out of the elevator. They goes, oh, we saw you on the news last night. You did a great job. And I went, okay, I don't need to worry about them anymore. Don't need to worry about Utah anymore. Because once you know, you're not afraid.
Amen.
You take away the fear when you know who you are. I was watching Britain's Got Talent. And there are a couple of guys from Italy who did a dance routine. No shirts, just leaky-tards. And they did this dance routine that was very, very sensual and loving. And part of the thing afterwards, they said, who knows? And she goes, nobody. Well, my mother, our mothers know. Your father doesn't? Nope. Nobody knows, but they do now. And it's like the fear is gone. Okay, so it makes you that way. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God's plans are good plans.
Amen.
Don't change the blueprint. But again, you have to find out what it is. You have to expand. Open the Word. Read it. I don't read. I don't like reading. I'm dyslexic, and I had a very stressful week, and so I get in my car, and I drive for a couple of 3-4 hours, listening to scriptures.
Amen.
Listening to scriptures. The second thing we have to do is to choose short-term pain over long-term gain. It's the principle of delayed gratification. Delayed gratification. Hebrews 11:25. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He was in the palace. He was the grandson of the Pharaoh. He had everything we want in life. Pleasure, prestige, possessions, all kinds of stuff that the world says we need. And we don't. But we lose track of that. We lose track of that. Most of you know that at one point, I was $250,000 in debt because I didn't have delayed gratification. I want it now. Greg and I went to Hawaii on my $700 limit credit card. We were there for 2 weeks. We went to 3 islands. We had a good time. We got home, and about 2 weeks later, I get a call from the bank. And the guy says, I see you went to Hawaii. I said, yeah, we did. He goes, looks like you had a good time. I said, yeah, we did. He goes, oh, okay. He says, you went a little bit over your... This is back before they had all the computerized stuff. This was in 1979. He says, I see you went over your limit a bit. And I says, yeah, a little. $3,000 a little over my limit. And he says, okay, well, this is what I have now. You think that's it? And I said, no, I think there's more. He says, well, let's wait another couple of weeks and we'll see. And so we did, and there was. I had to have it now. I had to have it to try and impress Greg. I had to. I didn't have the money, but I had credit cards, and my credit was good because I never failed on my cards. I remodeled my house up to $50,000 on credit cards. Then I had to sell the house because I couldn't afford to keep it. I had no delayed gratification. It was all instantaneous. I want it, and I want it now. I'm learning to do better, but I still have my moments. When I do that. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. And one of the things that happens when we do delayed gratification and we have problems, God will use it to help us grow. When we learn to wait, God uses that to help us grow. Because if we wait now, it'll be much better for us later. If we don't spend everything we have right now, but we put some away, our life will be easier when you get to be my age. But because I wasted and spent, I have to watch now how much I spend. I can't do all the things that I wanted to. Romans 5:3-4. We also have joy with our troubles because we know that those troubles produce patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. God will also reward me in heaven. We have to realize that this is not the end. Amen. God's going to reward us in heaven. Now, if we're stupid, Scripture says that we'll go through a refining fire and we'll come out as the one who went through a fire and we'll smell like smoke, but we will survive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our present troubles, troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. We don't like it at the time. When I was in debt that far, I didn't like it. I had to work 2 full-time jobs for 9 years to get out of it. Back then, $250,000 was a lot of money. Now it's just... Oh, it's not just change? Sorry. Dang. Okay. The third thing we have to do is we have to choose God's values over culture values. When we read this God's word, we see what God values. And we have to choose that. Because culture is going to tell us that we need to have stuff. If you're going to have a certain dress of clothes, then I got to have it. It's called peer pressure. Teenagers have it. Do adults ever have peer pressure?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we do. We fall for the same old trap. Hebrews 11:26. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Jesus as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses was looking ahead beyond the present, looking at the reward that lay ahead. So he endured 40 years in the desert with these rebellious people. Why didn't they go into the promised land? Because they doubt and they feared. They didn't trust God. So all the old timers got to wander in the desert till they died so the next generation could have the courage to lead him into the promised land. So what are our values? What are we looking for? You know, because if we don't know what our values are, how are we going to live them? During that time when I was so stupid, my values were off in a ditch. They were, and I was wallowing in them. And so I didn't know what was there, okay? So what are the world's values? Prestige, I mentioned all those things. Popularity, wealth, all that stuff. 1 John 2:17 says, the world and everything in it that people desire is passing away, but those who do the will of God live forever. If we do the will of God, we live forever. Does that mean you're going to have a perfect life, no problems? No. No. Why? Because we're human. One of the other things about it is when we just make stupid choices, we have to live with the consequences. I can admit that I'm an idiot. I still am. What's easier, to read God's word or go sit and eat ice cream in front of the TV and watch a movie that's mindless? Watch you eating ice cream. Well, I mean, that's just the way it is. But those things are passing away. And if you look at them compared to eternity, they're nothing. You can hold to take this piece of paper, maybe. However thick that is, that's still more than what eternity is. That's nothing. Eternity is forever. So what does God value? God values purpose is more important than popularity. Moses gave up his popularity for a purpose. People are more important than pleasure. People are more important than... There are people that use people for their own gain. But people are more important. Peace of mind is more valuable than possessions. Hebrews 11:27, by faith he left Egypt, and not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw him who was invisible. Moses gave up everything. He also had a lot he could be afraid of, but he wasn't. The key to faith is, who do you trust? Who do you trust? Galatians 2:16, know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. There are churches that tell you have to keep the law, you have to do this, you have to prove yourself worthy. How do you prove yourself worthy? Testify of Jesus Christ. Invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. That's how you're worthy, through Jesus Christ, not through anything we can do. It's not based on our works, because if it is, we're in deep trouble. So we, too, have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. The only thing we can do is put our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's one of the messages we have to tell people. When they ask, why are you happy? Why do you care? Because of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He did what was necessary for us. Because we have the right through God to choose. We have the right to choose. And we make mistakes. That's why we need Jesus Christ. One of the things we need to do, we need to get off the reel that the rats run on. We need to get out of the rat race. Because even if you win, you're still a rat. He who dies with the most toys wins. He who dies with the most toys is still dead. Hearst don't have U-Hauls. Not there. We have to choose. And what do we have to choose? Jesus Christ. And when we know that, and we know who we are in Christ, it takes stress off, and we cease being afraid, and we walk in the peace of Jesus Christ. So how do we choose? Choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's easy. All you have to do is just say, you know what? There's no set prayer. You can just say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I recognize that I'm a sinner. You don't even have to put the last part on there. You just recognize that there. And will you be my, I recognize that you are my Lord and Savior. Not will you be, because he already is. Just waiting for us to wake up to the fact. When I was sitting in the subway, the Spirit said, you're the same person you've always been. You just know who you are. You're the same person you've always been. You just know the Lord. And there's peace, and it's quiet. Now, close your eyes, bow your head, ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this message? Lord God, thank you for your presence in our life. Thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you for having a great plan for our lives. Lord, help us to look at your plan and accept it and realize that it's a better plan than we could ever have for ourselves, because it comes from you. Thank you for caring enough and beyond. Lord, help us to carry your message of your love out into the world. Help us know who we are in you, so that when we meet people, Lord, we can share you with other people without fear, because we are secure in who we are in you. Thank you for trusting us with the message of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to be doing about a 4 or 5 week series along this line. So next week, I'm going to be talking about choosing the right guide for your life.